Only a week and a half to go. Christmas morning will mark the end of the annual race to the finish line. Then we can rest. Until we take back the presents we don't like and put away all those decorations for yet another year. For now, pause with us as we consider the position God the Father has given Jesus his Son, the one for whom the holiday is named. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a Christmas series on Christ before Bethlehem. Turn with us to the 9th chapter of Isaiah as we hear more about Christ the Son, the one who is eternal.
And isn't it wonderful to know that because he is eternal, he connects all the dots in our lives. The same Jesus that appeared to the Apostle Paul on the way to Damascus and converted him is the same Jesus that converted me. It's the same Jesus that converted Simon and Kedrus on the other side of the world. It's what unites us together. It's because he is the everlasting Father, the Father of all eternity. And then he's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, you say, well, there is no peace in the Middle East today. What about the song, He Rules the World with Peace and Truth? And next time in the next message, I'm going to go into that in more detail. We won't comment on it today. This is really a series of messages on Christ before Bethlehem, and each message is based on one of the predictions made from the prophet Isaiah. So next time, we're going to talk about Christ the King in Isaiah. So he is the Prince of Peace. He's the one, though, that can give individual peace to us. Think of who Jesus really is. Now you know that there are churches here, even in Chicago, who this Christmas are going to preach that Jesus was a mere man. I know that to be a fact because sometimes I've actually read the sermons that they have preached. Sometimes they're on the internet, and all of the miracles are taken out, and all that you have is Jesus, this wonderful example. Could I say this rather clearly? That's not only foolish, it's heresy. It's not only foolish, it's heresy. In order to understand how foolish it is, could we do a little parody this morning? Let's suppose that I were to make the same claims that Jesus did, and you were to go home after your friends say, what did Pastor Lutzer say at Moody Church today? And you were to say this, well, you know what he told us? He said that Solomon was wise, but he was greater than Solomon. Furthermore, he told us that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man could possibly come to the Father apart from him. He said that before Abraham existed, he existed. He said those who believe on him have eternal life, and those who do not believe shall not see life, but that the wrath of God abides on them. He said that everything is about him. He also said that we should come to him if we were weary and heavy laden, and that he would give us rest. And then the real kicker was this. He told us we had to repent, but he said he didn't have to because he was sinless. Now, could you imagine me preaching that? Right after the benediction or sometime before, there would be 12 elders waiting for me over here with two or three security people, and all the rest of you would be saying, Pastor Lutzer, adios, senor. I mean, absolutely foolish. That's why Jesus was crucified. Is because he made such claims, but he did the miracles and had the chutzpah to prove that he was what he claimed to be. That's who Jesus really is. He is. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Where does this leave us? First, keep in mind that he is able to bear your burdens. He's strong enough to bear your burdens. You'll notice that the text says, even in verse 6, the government of the world shall be upon his shoulder. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end. And as I mentioned to you, we're going to look at the kingship of Jesus in Isaiah next time. But think of the fact that upon his shoulders rest the governments of the world. And now comes your problem. Is he able to handle it? Is it too much for him? I don't think so. Let us suppose that you were to have a bridge, and that bridge was made out of reinforced concrete and heavy steel. Would it matter to the bridge whether you just walked across or whether or not you walked across with a heavy burden on your back? Would it make any difference? Not to the bridge. You could drive over it with an SUV, and that wouldn't make any difference either. We're talking about a Savior who has the governments of the world upon his shoulders, and he bears those governments well, and we don't have to worry about how it's all going to end up. That's what kind of a Savior we have. He's strong enough to bear your shoulder, your problem on his shoulders, I should say, but he's also able to give you the grace of forgiveness. Strong enough to bear your burdens and gracious enough to forgive your sins. Some of you who are listening have never trusted him as Savior, and let me explain why some of you haven't. It's because of one or two reasons. Either A, pride. You don't need a Savior. After all, you're doing very, very well. You're a really okay person down deep where someone can do some archaeological work and find all the goodness. All the little child in you is actually a very good child. It's very difficult to find, but the little child supposedly is there and innocent and sweet. Pride. And Jesus comes to put an end to that pride. That's one of the reasons why some of you have never trusted him as Savior. There's a second reason, and that is despair. Because some of you, God bless you, you're listening to this and you're saying, I am unworthy of him. Because of my sin, it is so great. Which of the two do you think is closest to salvation? It's the latter person. It's not the prideful person who doesn't think that he needs a redeemer because he's got a good bank account and things are going well. It's the person in despair, the person who feels that he has fallen into a pit and does not know how to get out. That's the person who is closest. That's why Jesus said that the prostitutes go into the kingdom of heaven ahead of some of you self-righteous people who don't think you need a redeemer. Wow. That's who it is. Because Jesus is able to redeem the lowly. He's able to redeem those who have blown it so badly that they don't know where to turn. As the wonderful counselor, he's able to do it. Before his death, one of America's great preachers, S.M. Lockeridge, wrote a formative poem, and I'm going to read part of it to you today. I wish I could say it like Lockeridge used to. Some of you may remember him and his marvelous booming voice. I'm going to try to do my best. And this is what he wrote. Speaking of Jesus, he's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is supreme and preeminent. He's the superlative of every good that you can call him. I'm trying to tell you, you can't trust him. He can satisfy all of our needs, and he can do it simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he sees. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives the sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I'm trying to tell you, you can trust him. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseers of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. I'm trying to tell you that you can trust him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable because he's incomprehensible. He's irresistible and he's invincible. You can't get him off your hands. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. Death couldn't handle him, and thank God the grave couldn't hold him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. I'm tried to tell you, you can trust him. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, when confronted with the beauty of Jesus, we are out of words. I pray for those, Father, who have never savingly believed on him. May they reach out right now where they are seated and say, Jesus, I believe. I accept you as my Savior, as my Redeemer. And for those, Father, who feel a sense of pride, a sense of distance, they've come here and they've held everything at arm's length. Overcome that resistance. Show them their need that they may believe in Jesus, the child that was born, the son that was given, the Savior who died. You talk to God now. Father, do in our lives that which is well-pleasing in your sight. For those with heavy burdens, may they cast them upon the shoulders of one who can bear the governments of the world. We love him, we worship him, we honor him, and we delight in his salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and yes, we do delight in his salvation. As a matter of fact, the opening words in the book of Matthew include this statement: he has come to save his people from their sins. Jesus is everything that you've heard about on this broadcast today, and a whole lot more. Maybe there's a question in your mind that says this: why is it that there are some people who believe in Jesus, and yet their lives do not reflect it? Perhaps I'm speaking to parents who have young people, a son or a daughter, and they have professed faith in Christ, but there does not seem to be a change in their lives. Of course, all of us know Christians like that, and sometimes we feel as if we ourselves are in that category. Well, the answer is this. So often when people believe in Christ, it is without any sense of conviction of sin. Tell me someone, show me someone, who has a great sense of conviction, of unrest, that they are sinners. And I'll show you someone who is a very close candidate for believing in Jesus. Not just saying a prayer, but actually transferring trust to him. Now, I mention that because before I close today, I can't help but think that there's someone to whom I am speaking. And you know, if you're that person who has this overwhelming sense of guilt, a sense of frustration, a knowledge that your conscience has been violated and you don't know where to turn, could you in these closing seconds right now turn to Jesus, the Savior of the world, who died for sinners just like you?
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding Christ the Son, the first of four messages on Christ before Bethlehem. Tomorrow we turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and see there a picture of Christ the King. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. For those who give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win, we have a special thank you: Jesus versus Muhammad, Erwin Lutzer's message about the rise of Islam worldwide. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.